flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Work sucks. They don't. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw, he's behind the glass. We're going until 2 o'clock right here on The Fan. Joining us now on the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline is Jeff Ehrman from Inside Maryland Sports to talk some Terps basketball. What's going on, Jeff?
Hey, Cordell. Hey, Vinny.
What's up?
Appreciate you making some time for us today. All right, Terps, they get a big win yesterday out in Indiana, and I thought it was a lot to unpack in this game. Obviously, Rodney Rice's three-pointer that ended up winning the game for them was such a big play, but I thought it was a huge game for the guards in general. It was a nice back-and-forth game. Felt very eerily similar to like a March Madness tournament type of game where you got big shots on both sides. But I was really impressed with the guard play in yesterday's game.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing you have to like. You know, what they're showing now is that they can switch it up from game to game. The game before, obviously, they hammered Illinois in the paint, 62 points in the paint, the highest by any Big Ten team all season. Then you go to Indiana, you know, where their front court is better and not missing their center, as Illinois obviously was. They get outscored 40-30 in the paint, Maryland does, but then those three guards combined for, I think it was 53 or 56 points, and Maryland shoots 12 of 24 from three, which is obviously great, especially when you think about, you know, how last year went with three-point shooting. So, you know, when you can win in different ways, that's a huge advantage. And also, obviously, when you can win on the road, which they haven't been able to do until now. So, you know, these back-to-back road wins maybe get them over that mental hump on the road.
I thought the Illinois game, I thought Willard did a real good job because, you know, what they were lacking, their big man. And it was like, would they take three threes in that whole game? It was like, get it inside, and both guys had, you know, over 20 points, which I thought was smart by the Terps.
Yeah, Vinny, they have a rare combo there with Reese and Queen. You know, there's very few college teams that have that kind of 1-2 twin tower punch in the post. You know, I think anytime you try something like that, it's going to take a while to get used to it. So for much of this season, for the first half of the season, it was pretty rare to see both of those guys have big games at the same time. But I think they're starting to figure that out more. Willard is starting to get a better feel for when to go with both guys, when to take one guy out. And, you know, they have a lot of talent. The bench, obviously, is weak. That's the biggest question mark. How long can you keep relying on just these five or six guys? But right now they've won five out of six and playing their best ball of the season.
We're talking to Jeff Ehrman, who joins us on the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And, Jeff, that's where I was kind of going to go next, this bench. And yesterday pretty much rolled with the starters for the most part. Juju, he did finish with the four fouls. But assuming that they're not dealing with foul trouble, how reliable do you feel like that will be, especially as you get late in the year and start to get into the conference tournament time?
Yeah, that's the big question mark. You know, it's possible they can just cruise through it and not have it be a big issue in terms of fatigue or foul trouble, things like that. But more often than not, you're going to need some guys from your bench to step up. The biggest, you know, I think the biggest dynamic in terms of that has been Deshaun Harris-Smith. You know, the hope was that he would become a reliable starter and a scorer this year, and then you could have Rodney Rice or Celta Miguel off the bench. That hasn't really worked out, so that's limited, you know, your bench scoring there. Fatigue will set in. They do have a week break coming up, which is, you know, good timing, I guess, in terms of getting rest, but probably not good timing in terms of, you know, you don't want to stop playing when you're playing your best that you have all season. So that's something definitely to watch closely. Eventually they're going to need some of these guys off the bench to produce a little bit more scoring, but, you know, it's not like you can turn somebody into a scorer. So for the most part, they're going to have to rely on the starters, who I think they had, the starters had like 85 points the other day at Illinois.
Did you think Gillespie was going to be this good? Because I'm like, he's in total control out there, it seems like.
I thought he was going to be really good. I watched him work out a few times during the summer, watched them play some pickup games, things like that. It was clear he was very talented. I thought he might have some issues in terms of size, getting into the paint and kind of getting swallowed up. And that's still sometimes a challenge for him. But, I mean, you know, he's been as good, arguably, as any of these really good guards they've had lately. You know, they've had this great run with Melo Trimble and Anthony Cowan and Jameer Young. And, you know, he, if he stays another year, I think he'll end up, you know, thought of in the same way as those guys. He's one of the top point guards in the Big Ten.
Obviously, the front court is probably the strength of this Maryland team right now, especially with the strides that Juju has made this year, especially at the free throw line. Really good, 4-for-4 again from the line yesterday. What does that do for you in terms of your trust in Juju late in these games now when you start to see him becoming more reliable at the free throw line?
Yeah, that's enormous. You know, I think over the past few weeks or month, maybe, he's at literally about 90% from the line, which is incredible when you think about his struggles in the past. A lot of times you see these guys that get to that second half of their senior year, and you just see this urgency and this focus kind of come to light, and that's what it feels like with him, both with the free throw shooting, taking on a little bit more of a leadership role, and just being really consistent game to game, shooting high percentage, you know, double-figure rebounds pretty much every game, and making a lot of key plays to kind of hold down the paint, because he's, you know, as good as Derek Queen is, you know, Juju is still a much better rebounder and defender at this point. So if he can keep up this level of play, that's huge for them heading toward March Madness.
Just watching Queen, it looks like he is, you know, buying in more to the defensive game, making more plays on the defensive end.
Yeah, he has. You know, he had that little slump a few weeks ago, you know, on both ends of the court. He still hasn't fully snapped out of that on offense, but he's not forcing things. I think he took 6 or 7 shots yesterday. You know, he defensively at times he's really good, like he showed against Indiana, coming out on the guard Miles Rice and shutting him down 20 feet away from the basket, forcing him into a traveling call. I think the biggest thing with him is, you know, he lost a lot of weight during last summer. So as you know, when guys lose a ton of weight, it's hard to lose a ton of weight and get more explosive and really muscular. So he could really use another off season of conditioning to help himself defensively. But, you know, as we all know, that's probably a long shot. Next season is unlikely to be spent in College Park for him, but you never know.
Jeff, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you making some time for us today. How can people follow you and keep up with your work on Maryland?
Yeah, if you're on X, I'm Jeff_ERMANN, and the website is InsideMDSports.com.
Jeff, appreciate you, man. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, guys. Yep, thanks, Vinny.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get to the whip around, see what went on in the world of sports.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Or it's yesterday, that's next here on The Fan.
Vinny and Hades with brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County. 105.7 The Fan.
He gets it in bounds to Gillespie. Gillespie goes to the rim. Lost the ball. Kicks it back out front to Juju. 9 on the shot clock. Jumper on the way. That's good. A three-pointer by Rice with 7.1 seconds to go. Maryland's up by 1, and a timeout is called Indiana.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw behind the glass. Coming up next at 11:30, we'll be joined by the voice of the Caps on Monumental Sports, Joe B. Talk some Caps hockey. Caps back at it tomorrow against Calgary. So we'll talk to Joe B about the Caps' hot start to the season, looking like possibly the best team in hockey to this point. But right now it's the whip around, and you just heard that highlight courtesy of The Fan. You heard that game right here on the station yesterday. Terps win 79-78 thanks to that Rodney Rice 3 on the back end of the game. Rodney Rice finished with 23 points, 5 for 7 from downtown, 8 for 13 from the field. Jacoby Gillespie, 18 points as well. Selton Miguel, 15 points. And he scored 8 straight, I think, at one point in the second half for the Terps by himself. So he was a big part of the win. Juju, 14 points, 10 rebounds, 2 blocks. And Derek Queen, 7 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks as well for him. And huge win for the Terps. Back-to-back road wins,
yep.
3 straight wins total. And now they get ready to take on a ranked Wisconsin team at home at Xfinity on Wednesday night.
That'll be a big game at home. Badgers are just consistently good.
Mm-hmm.
And they have their style of play and how they play and what to expect. I mean, basically a bunch of tough dudes, you know, that play physical basketball. And they've been the same for a long time. It's going to be a tough game. The Terps, I'm guessing, Cordell, that they're going to be much more athletic than Wisconsin. See if they can make shots.
That'll be the thing. Can they make shots? And if they have to rely on some of the guys on the bench, will they be able to do so? Obviously, yesterday was conference championship day in the NFL. First game of the day Washington taking on the Philadelphia Eagles, and that one ended up getting ugly on the back end of the game. Eagles went 55-23. Washington, four turnovers. You can't win that way, especially on the road against that team who has the best defense in football. It's tough to stop. Saquon, 15 carries, 118 yards, three rushing touchdowns on the day. Jalen Hurts, three rushing touchdowns on the day himself as well. A.J. Brown, six catches, 96 yards, and a touchdown. Jaden Daniels, 29 for 48, 255, a touchdown and a pick. Did have a rushing touchdown also. That's kind of the other thing. I would have loved to have seen more Jaden Daniels runs, like more quarterback design runs. He had six carries for 48
yards.
Most
of them on third down.
Yeah, like I would have loved to. That's what killed the Eagles in the second matchup against the Commanders. Jaden Daniels and his legs, especially late in that game. This one, unfortunately, wasn't very close, but when it was close, the turnovers for Washington just kept pushing them a step or two back. It's just tough to recover at this point of the year when you have four turnovers in a game.
I think, Cordell, it's a good lesson for them to learn, okay, this is what we got to get better at. These are the players we need. You know, the offseason moves that we got to make, it's pretty obvious now because, you know, the warts show up in those types of games. And now, who's good enough to beat Philly? What do we got to do to improve? Because we were close enough. But, you know, in Detroit, we were fortunate that their defense sucked, you know, and we were able to take advantage of that. But now with Philly, who we got to play every year, who's got the number one defense, how do we consistently go up against them? Because if we can beat Philly on a consistent basis, we can go to Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and the thing with Philly is they're young. You know, they're not going anywhere anytime soon. Nope. All those dudes are in their prime.
Their O-line is probably a little...
The O-line, right. And, you know, it just feels like they just reload with the offensive line.
They got a hell of an O-line coach is what they say, the best.
On to the AFC side of things, the AFC Championship game out in Kansas City. The Chiefs playing in their seventh straight AFC Championship game, and they win it again. 32-29 over Josh Allen and the Bills. Patrick Mahomes, 18 for 26, 245 yards, a passing touchdown. Did have two rushing touchdowns in this game as well. 11 carries for 43 yards. Xavier Worthy, he was their leading receiver. Six catches, 85 yards, and a touchdown. Josh Allen didn't play bad. 22 for 34, 237 yards passing, two touchdowns. 39 yards on the ground. James Cook, two rushing touchdowns, 85 yards on the ground. Josh Allen had three fumbles. Thankfully for him, he recovered them all, but only one turnover in this game, and it came from the Chiefs, but that wasn't enough to beat this team. I don't know what is enough to beat the Chiefs, honestly. It's like you got to outlast them, but they are never out of it. They never, even when they're trailing, you're never really, you know, up on them by more than a field goal or more than one score. They always keep it within reach, and it just feels like they're always in control of every game that they're in, even when they're trailing.
You know what? What the Chiefs don't get credit for, Cordell, is having a damn good defense, too.
Yeah.
That's what they don't get credit for because I mean, you know, and we've heard him, people talk about it a ton. You know, the only time they ran that corner blitz was that last play, that Buffalo had the ball there. So they're innovative. They're forward thinking, very creative, both sides of the ball. Excellent kick. I mean, they gotta have a hell of a football team. Mm-hmm. And the thing that they've got is, you know, like with New England, when they had Brady, and they got Mahomes. I mean, they got the guy that makes the biggest difference.
They got the guy.
Yes.
That's just what it is. They got the guy.
As great as Lamar is, as great as Allen is, as great as Jaden Daniels is, he's better.
Yep.
He's better.
He proves it time and time again by just winning. By just winning. I mean, and the thing with Mahomes is, early in his career, he wowed us, you know, with the plays that he was. That's when he really showed you, all right, you know, this is how special of a player I am. Really, the last couple of years, it's just been, this is how you just get it done. I showed you how to win it in a spectacular fashion. I showed you how to win it with all the highlight plays. This is how you just win right now. They're not sexy. They're not sexy.
No.
They just go out there and they just get it done, man. It's crazy and consistent. Consistent. It's tough. I stand by. I think the NFL is the toughest league to win in just because of the physicality that comes with it and the injury risk and everything. These dudes are there every year and they're winning it every year. It's nauseating, but at the same time, it's impressive.
And Cordell, they have a salary cap and they let guys go. I mean, they let a Tyreek Hill go who's in the prime of his career.
Yeah.
And then they win the Super Bowl the next year. I mean, the constants is Andy Reid, Spagnuolo, Troop, the special teams coach, has been with him the whole time. Mahomes.
Kelsey.
And Jones. Yep. Those three. Those are the three constants.
Yeah, man. Obviously, I'm rooting against the Eagles at this point. Yeah. But how can anybody pick against the Chiefs? How can you in good faith pick against the Chiefs right now?
Norm, can you pick against Mahomes?
I mean, I don't want to get ahead of myself here for the next 2 weeks, but I kind of want to lock it in right now.
Oh,
just
man.
Lock in the pick.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Injury news doesn't matter. Stuff like that. I mean,
he plays, one leg.
Doesn't.
And yeah. I joked about it when we did our picks on Friday and said that, you know, going into this game, the Chiefs, it would feel like a preseason game to them. And I was joking when I said that. But at a certain point, they're not rattled by anything.
No.
And even when things start to turn against them, you kind of hinted at it there a couple minutes ago. You know, just when you think the other team's turning the momentum in their favor, they take a go-ahead score, they get a big defensive stop, it's not even close to being over. If there's 10 seconds left in the game, that's too much time.
We've seen it.
Yeah.
We've seen it. I mean, I got a kick out of last year when they had to go to Buffalo in the divisional round, and everybody's like, oh, it's the first time Mahomes has to go on the road, and he's got to go to Buffalo. It's Allen's time. Please. That was just another challenge. It was just another challenge for him to cross off his bucket list, but we'll see what happens in 2 weeks. It will be best on best. You know, I think these are the two best teams in football right now. They have it's been that way almost all year. So we'll get that matchup in 2 weeks out of New Orleans as we get a rematch from the Super Bowl 2 years ago, the Eagles against the Chiefs. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll talk some hockey with Joe B, see what's happening with the Caps. They're off today, but they're back on the ice tomorrow against Calgary. So we'll talk to the voice of the Caps next here on The Fan. Joining us now via the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline is Joe Beninati. He's the voice of the Caps on Monumental Sports. Joe, good morning.
Cordell, how you doing? Sounding good out here in lovely Vancouver. We've been here for 4 days.
Nice.
Well, nice little getaway. Hopefully, nice W on the business trip as well. And there's been a lot of W's for the Caps so far this year. And probably the biggest surprise team in hockey so far. What do you label as the kind of the core of the success? Why have the Caps been as good as they have been this year?
Really solid 5-on-5, Cordell and Vinny. They've been, at even strength, they've been one of the best teams from the cover to cover this season to this point. Fantastic goaltending from both guys, but especially Logan Thompson in the last month. I think he's arguably the MVP of the league for the Caps in that last 30 days or so. Defensive improvements, the additions of Jacob Chychrun and Matt Roy really have bolstered that team on the back end, and they've been especially good on the road. I was kidding you, saying, you know, we've been stuck here in Vancouver. Vancouver's gorgeous, by the way.
Beautiful
place. We've been here for 4 days. We've been on the road for 8 days, and we've still got four or five more to come, but the Caps have been one of the best road teams, Cordell, from the beginning of the season on out. They and Minnesota have been the two teams that have won the most on the road. So when you add it all up, they're playing well in all three facets from an offensive, defensive, and special teams standpoint. Coaching's been fantastic. Goaltending's been extra special in the last 30 days. Add it all up, you got 33 wins.
All right, Joe B, I got to get off to hockey for just a second. I talked to our buddy Locker probably like 2 weeks ago because after you guys came out and were talking about the procedure he was going to have, I had it April 30th. So Locker and I had a long conversation a couple days after that because he wanted to get prepared for the surgery. Isn't it like, if I recall, isn't it like tomorrow or coming up soon?
February 4th, Vinny. Yeah, February 4th. So he's been, he didn't come with us on this trip. I think from what I gather, he's sort of getting the home ready for the rehab part, which is going to take a while, I'm sure. Yeah,
6 weeks.
Yeah, I've been worried for 6 weeks. He told me that things were, the situation was what it was 6 weeks ago, and it's been in my head rattling around, shaking me up ever since. You wouldn't have known it, any of your listeners, any of our viewers on Monumental, you would not have known it. Yeah, Locker, it looks and appears to be in peak condition, but he might have 40% of his heart working properly, and they've got to go in and clean up that that other 60. And he's taking it like an athlete would. He's like, I can't wait. I'm gonna approach this like a like an injury that I need to rehab. I've got a target date to get back. And I'm like, okay, this is not a sprained ankle. Please take your time. I worry about him, but next week I think it's February 4th where he'll have the procedure.
Yeah, we had a good conversation because I've been through it, and he'll make it through and he'll come out. I told him, I said, Locker, I said, I'm doing more on the treadmill lifting. I says, you'll be back on the air in no time. Now, Joe B, back. The biggest thing to me that I like about the Caps, Chychrun, man, he's made such a difference. I mean, how many teams play two dudes on the two defensemen on the power play and stuff? And Chychrun got that big shot, and he's got such good vision and stuff too.
Yeah, it gives them flexibility, Vinny and Cordell, that they can have Jacob on one side, that one flamethrower, and then you've got Ovechkin on the other side. It gives you a two-pronged attack when you're a man up. I think the power play doesn't get enough chances. I sort of wish the Caps would draw 4 and 5 power play opportunities a game. You'd really see them flourish there. But Jacob's been awesome from the outset of the season. I think he's been sound in the defensive end. We've seen him both play with John Carlson as a pair. You've seen him most recently more often with Trevor Van Riemsdyk. He's meshed in extremely well. He's scored goals at even strength. He scored goals in overtime. He's just a threat. And you want to talk about a physical specimen. He's in tremendous condition and can absorb heavy minutes. And he's a puck mover. You don't spend a lot of time in the defensive zone when he's on the ice. And I think you could say that about all the guys, all six of the defenders for the Caps who've been pretty consistent now as the six for about 35 games in a row, that they're all very mobile. They're able to get up and go. You don't spend very much time in the zone. Jacob's in the last year of a deal. He's going to get paid handsomely. We're hoping that they can come to terms and keep him and make him a Cap for a long, long time here.
We're talking to Joe Beninati, who joins us on the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. He's the voice of the Caps on Monumental Sports. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Joe, has been a huge year for Dylan Strome to this point, his third year in Washington. What's been different about him this season?
Cordell, he's vastly underrated. You know, when you look at this guy's draft pedigree, he was taken third overall in 2015, and the only two guys taken above him were pretty damn good players in McDavid and Eichel. Dylan's always had that playmaking ability, the vision to create. He's in a bit of a cool spell right now, and I know he's chomping at the bit to turn that around. He's one of the guys who does look at the stat sheet, and the stat sheet for Dylan lately hasn't been nearly what it was in the first 2 months of the season. The Caps love what he brings from a versatility standpoint, a leadership standpoint. He's a calming influence, and he's the quarterback. He really is. When you think about the way they entered the zone on power plays, once they get it set up, they're always looking to get it to 17. He's the guy who puts the puck into the right spots. And there was a time there, I thought, in the first 2 months where he was going to be close to a 100-point producer. He was just off to a tremendous start. He's cooled recently, but I have no doubt that he'll bounce back. And, you know, they've been experimenting. Spencer Carberry's been experimenting a little bit with some line combinations. I think he's really settled in on that one gargantuan line of Protus.
I like that
Wilson
line, yeah.
Oh, how could you not, Vinny? Yeah. That's like almost 800 pounds of hockey player there, yeah. And they all can move. But Dylan, I think, will have an uptick. He's just too good of a player to stay, and I think he's only had one assist in maybe his last 8 or 9 games. That's not like him. He was cruising in the first 2 months, And I expect when the season starts to roll downhill towards the Stanley Cup playoffs, Dillon's going to bounce back, and it wouldn't surprise me if it starts tomorrow night in Calgary.
Well, the thing that helped him too, Joe B, was Ovi was off the charts to start the year. I mean, he was getting assist after assist. Now, the other thing, Joe, that really has impressed me is, you know, what the Capitals have done. And like, I was critical, like when we would talk last year, that they had no young guys and stuff, you know, in the development. But they know kind of when their guys are ready, which I kind of appreciate, you know, like Protas and McMichael, because they're playing huge roles now. And it's taken them like 3 years of up, down, you know, playing at Hershey. And then now playing prominent roles for the Caps.
Some organizations, Vinny, they rush their prospects. They get them into the lineup as soon as possible. And sometimes that's a hindrance to their development. I think the Caps are known to be an organization that likes to let the prospects bake a while. You know, don't bring them out of the oven until they're ready. With Alexei Protas, I mean, that's been phenomenal to see where he is and how far he has developed in just a few years as a pro. I mean, this is his fourth year, I want to say, in North America. He's their second leading scorer. He's been incredible at even strength. And at 6 foot six and a half, when he gets ahead of steam going, good luck stopping him. I mean, he's just been terrific. And Connor McMichael, another guy off to a blazing hot start, a la Dylan Strome, who's cooled a bit recently, and I know he's just agonizing. Every time I see him on the bus, he's like, I'm going to get one today. I'm going to get one today. I'm like, I know you are. I keep trying to pump him full of confidence. He's cooled a bit, but such a talented player who put so much time in the offseason, really improved his skating ability, his strength, his speed. He worked with Gary Roberts in the Toronto area in the summer, and you could see the results. You know, they had three, Vinny, that they were hoping would blossom near the same time. Protas, McMichael, and Hendricks LaPierre. It hasn't clicked for LaPierre just yet. He's working through it in the American Hockey League in Hershey. But once he gets there, you've really got some good young potential there that's now blossomed into top six roles. Ethan Frank is the guy right now who's come from Hershey in recent weeks and has produced tremendous speed. Not the biggest player that you're going to see, but good luck catching him. Yeah. And he's a good finisher, shot, a three-time All-Star who knows how to put it away. Yeah.
Caps back on the ice tomorrow out in Calgary, taking on the Flames. Puck drops at 9 o'clock. Of course, Joe B, he'll be on the call on Monumental Sports. Joe, really appreciate your time today. Enjoy the rest of the road trip.
Thanks, Joe. Be a lot of cowboy boots and cowboy hats in Calgary.
Get after it, Cordell and Vinny. We'll saddle up.
Appreciate it. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll take a trip through the fun house with Nolan McGraw. That's next here on The Fan.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
All right, we'll start here with Howard in Baltimore talking a little Maryland basketball. Says, way to gut it out on the road for the Terps. Says he literally jumped out of his seat when Rodney Rice hit that three-pointer with under 10 seconds left. Team starting to make a case for themselves to be dealt with late in February into March. Indiana was arguing amongst themselves and disorganized. Meanwhile, Maryland looked like a much more composed veteran team.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of back and forth in that game. That's the type of game where you could easily see Maryland lose in the past. But yesterday, man, it seemed like every time Indiana started to build up some momentum, here comes another three. You know, like I said, there was times in the second half where you had guys just going on eight-point runs on their own. So, right, you had a Rice versus Rice battle a little bit in that game as well, because the Rice for Indiana played well yesterday. The big men showed up for Maryland. I thought that was it gave me a tournament type of vibe watching that game. Back and forth, big shots on both ends, and Maryland ended up coming out on top. Good for them.
This texter here, the little, motivation for Cordell. Tex says, the pain of losing the conference championship, it's real.
Yeah.
It'll stay there. But for years, You just wanted a chance to feel that kind of pain.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take watching my team lose in a big spot like that over not watching them in the playoffs at all. Bright future for Daniels and everyone else.
Easily agree. I mean, because usually I'm just a casual fan as soon as week 18 ends. You know, I'm just whatever. The fantasy season's over. My team's in real life's team is over. I mean, it's just, it doesn't matter anymore. But it actually mattered this year in January. And I mean, as much as I am hurting right now, I would not want to go back to how I felt over the last just 36 years of my life for the most part.
Well, you know what? I was part of, we lost four NFC championship games. Three or four. I can't remember what it was. But it is not a good feeling, especially when you lose them at home. You know, I mean, that's even worse. You know, and I mean, the one year we were 14-2 and lost at home in the NFC championship game. And let me just say the owner was firing people.
I bet. I mean, it sucks to lose to a division opponent. I think that's the worst part about it. And they have the most obnoxious fans in the league. I'm sorry. They just do. I can't stand Philly fans, the Eagles fans for the most part. But and then all the TVs are just showing replays, and I'm seeing the tush push crap. I can't stand that play. I've grown to hate that play.
Me too.
A couple of years ago, I said, no, stop it. And then at times, they do get stopped. We stopped them, but that goal line sequence where they were prepared to award him a touchdown because they're trying to time the snap. I mean, whatever.
That in real time, you know, you can't blame the guy for trying to time it and jump over. And, you know, they keep inching the ball up, what, a millimeter?
Exactly.
If you're Philly, just run the play. I mean, they're lining up there and Hurts is taking his sweet time.
Well, they were going on double snap count all the time because they were timing their snap, they were timing their jump. So, but it was kind of, because Serator, wasn't it Serator? Like, prior to when they were talking about it, he said what the rule was. And then, bam, and then we got Hockley saying it after the next penalty.
Yeah, that play aggravates. Honestly, I thought the Commanders stopped them at least two or three times yesterday, but they got good spots on a couple of them. But, yeah, that play, man, honestly, I think the way we look at the Eagles over the last 3 years or so would be vastly different if the tush push wasn't around. That's my hot take of the day.
And one more here on Washington. Texter says, any thoughts on Dan Quinn's progression as a head coach? Wasn't a heavily celebrated move when the Commanders brought him in. Still managed to implement his identity. And the constant going for it on fourth down became a huge factor for them in the playoffs.
It changed their year. The fourth down attempts changed their year, which is why I was a little disappointed yesterday on the first drive to see them go for the field goal. Be who you are. Be what got you
there.
Well,
they did go for it twice.
They did. And I'm like, you did all that to settle for a field goal? I understood it would have been a big-time deflation if they didn't get any points after that long drive. You had to get something, so I don't mind it. And look, I was one of those people that wasn't jumping for joy when they hired Dan Quinn. I didn't really like that move, but I got to give him credit. He coached his butt off this year. He put together a heck of a staff, and credit to him, outside of yesterday, in all of the big games that they played in this year, he had his guys ready to play and show up in all of them. So definitely a lot to
and
be
the
proud
other,
of.
The other one deserves credit, whoever got it done, because Kingsbury was going to the Raiders.
Yeah.
And then Washington stepped up and paid him more. But let me just say this. Quinn, Jaden Daniels makes Quinn too.
For sure. I mean, that's what you need. You need both. Yep. You need both these days, and it looks like Washington has both for right now. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get you some news from the Nest. We'll look at the Ravens pending free agents. We'll talk about that end of the season press conference as well. That's next here on The Fan.